everyone, we're here today for another episode of Brain Cherries, a podcast where we discuss interesting topics and ideas around innovation, technology, and entrepreneurship. I'm here with my co-host, Erika.
Hello.
Today, we'll interview Fabio Bodiman Medina. Thank you so much, Fabio, for being here with us.
Hi, girls. Thanks for the invitation. I'm really excited to be here.
Very nice. So Fabio is a managing director at the Paraguay Angel Investor Network, where he connects promising startups looking for capital with investors that are looking to take this initial bet. So can you tell us a little bit more about your background and your current employment?
Yeah, sure. Well, I went to study in Chile. The career is called commercial engineering, which is kind of particular even for the region. It has grown quite popular in the region nowadays. And it's very general approach of all the areas that you have on a company, for example, marketing, finance, and logistics, strategy, and everything in only one bachelor. This university, which is very well known in South America, also has a program for a postgraduate degree. They have many options where you can specialize. I choose to do international management, which is where I met Erika. And because I always had a special interest, a personal interest in everything that comes to traveling, languages, cultures, and I always wanted to take my career to an international environment, right? So that's why I choose this master. And then, in my undergraduate, also they have a very special focus in everything that comes to entrepreneurship and innovation. Actually, they have a very particular approach for South America, which is a very hands-on experience. In the first year of university, we have to create a company and we have to start selling. And to pass this course, we actually have to make a certain amount of money.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's awesome. It's very cool. It's very interesting. Very stressful at the beginning because are young and you have no idea of what you're doing, but it's nice because you learn by your mistakes. At first, I was kind of frustrated the first time that I did this course because I had to retake it, but it was very, very good, very enriching experience for me. And we had very different kind of workshops every different semester about entrepreneurship and innovation. And I really enjoy all these courses. I really like them, but every time that I came back home in Paraguay, my home country, during the holidays, and I talked to people about this, they had no idea what I was talking about. The concept of entrepreneurship wasn't still installed here. And when people talk about entrepreneurship, they always thought about, you know, just opening a small business. The concept of startups was a very new thing. And I always had this will or this wish to bring it here, but I didn't know how. I never knew how. And actually, after I finished my graduate and my undergraduate and my graduate degree, and I came back home, I went on a different path. I went to the corporate world, which has nothing to do with innovation, with entrepreneurship. And I stayed there, I think, for 5 months at the beginning in Asunción. At the end, I realized it wasn't for me. It's not what I was looking for. I left the company, and shortly after, I found this opportunity in COGA, which is an incubator for social ventures in Paraguay. I never heard about them before, and actually they have been around for 6 years already when I entered the company. But I really liked what they were doing, and they were trying to install in the system, in the Paraguayan ecosystem, the concept of entrepreneurship, of startup, and they were doing a lot in terms of promoting the ecosystem here. So I got really interested. I contacted some people inside the company, and 1 month later, I was already hired by them to create a business angel network in Paraguay. It is the first official business angel network of Paraguay, but it's not the first general one because there have been others that have tried to make it, but they didn't work. Yes, it is the only one right now that exists, but it's again, is a huge challenge because it's something really new and really little known by people.
That's super interesting, though. So at the end, you managed to get into the career that you wanted. And just to talk a little bit more about what you do on a daily basis with your work, can you share with us maybe what's the most important thing that you think a company should do to attract external investors, like angel investors?
Well, there are many, many different steps that they can make to be attractive to investors. And another thing is that we as a business angel network might have a certain kind of guidelines for ventures that we look for. But every different angel investor has his particular requirements for investing in these companies, right? A good team where they can have complementary skills and they have diversity inside the team normally. It depends a lot, but if you have a team of all men, for example, and they have all the same specialty, that's not interesting for an investor because probably they're going to focus only in one aspect of the company, but not on others. Then we also try to look always for market validation, right? Because angel investors, they invest in a stage where the company has already an MVP validated by the market. And how, like, the best way to show validation is through traction. So sales or users or active users, right? I would say those are the two main points. But then there are also other factors, as, for example, the ability to solve a problem, a real problem. And here for us, especially in Paraguay, I think we always try to look, and it's very hard to find companies that look beyond borders, so that companies that can be internationalized and they can reach bigger markets. Why? Because Paraguay is a very small market. We have 7 million inhabitants in the whole country, and that's not so attractive for an investor for a company that has only 7 million people market, right? So those are some of the things that I think are the most important. There are other factors, such as, for example, the impact that the company makes. How it really depends on each investor in this case, but a company that makes an impact, it can be easier for them to catch the attention of the investor.
Makes sense. And you mentioned at the beginning that in Paraguay, normally when you think about like a company, you think about like a family business or like a small company. Can you tell us a little bit more about the environment, the ecosystem in Paraguay, and in particular related to startups and innovation?
Yeah, well, Paraguay, as you might know, is a developing economy. So we have experienced really high growth in the past years, even higher than the rest of the region, which is pretty good at a macroeconomic level, but which means that we are in a very early stage of development. It's not, if you look at the whole picture, right? So our economy is basically based on agriculture, and right now we have a really booming market, like a real estate market. And it's very easy for you to put your money on each of those industries. You basically have a certain return over the investment in a few years. So that's why it's very difficult for the entrepreneurial ecosystem or the venture capital ecosystem to thrive here, because it's a risky investment and that you might have or may not have return over your investment. Because statistically, 80 to 90% of companies fail. Sometimes they can return the money, but not everything that was expected. Because as this, we are talking about a high-risk investment, usually investors, they expect 5 to 10 times the return of what they invested in a 5 to 10 years period time. That's one of the things, right? It's difficult to convince people to put their money into in venture capital instead of putting into cattle or real estate. But I think that's slowly changing. I think there are people that are seeing that this is the future, right? That this is going to bring development and it's going to bring innovation. This is also the industry that's going to create new jobs for the future.
So Fabio, you said before that Paraguay has a main focus in agriculture as one of the main drivers of the economy. So I was wondering, for Paraguay and also in general, do you then think that startups should concentrate on that sector that is the main one for that economy, or not necessarily?
I'm going to answer your question, but also I'm going to add some comment about that might be very interesting, which is that as a business angel network, we don't have a specific sector because everything is so incipient here and we don't want to close our doors to any kind of opportunity. As you said, you would think that maybe the agrotech is a booming industry or a promising industry here in Paraguay, but we don't have that many agrotech companies. We are actually working right now, trying to work in alliances with other incubators that promote this kind of particular companies, but we haven't seen results yet. So we think that Asunción particularly is a very interesting point for innovation lab will be, right? Because why we think this? We think that Asunción is a place where you can easily test your product, that you can come, it's a cheap market, cost of living is really low, that you can try, you have a lot of agricultures, and most of them are based in Asunción, so you can catch this market and you can try to test the product, validate it with the users, and once you have it validated here in Asunción, you can extrapolate to other regions of South America, because all of South America is characterized for kind of familiar culture or identical somehow way of behaving. So if you validate it in one of the markets, you probably will succeed in other markets as well.
And for those listeners who might not know, when Fabio refers to Asunción, that's the capital of Paraguay.
That's the thing that I wanted to add to my answer, because we think not only Paraguayans, but people also from other regions should maybe come to Paraguay and try to validate their products here as an initial market, maybe. As one of the main rules of venturing into a new business is to do it at a low cost, right? And try to fail fast. In the case to avoid any kind of wasting time and money.
So basically what you are suggesting is that Paraguay is a good opportunity as any, you know, other emerging market to start testing your idea at a very low cost and then potentially expand to other markets once you have seen that that idea works, as opposed to try to go big directly and try to go to another market that maybe has more competition or is a bit bigger, like I imagine the US or other nearby markets. And so that is that what you are suggesting companies to do, to try to start small and then expand to other bigger markets?
Yes, because Paraguay is a place where there is everything is to be done. We always say it's a country of opportunities. There is so much that we need. There is so much space for improvement. There is so much space for new ventures. And sometimes it doesn't even need to be something very innovative, very new, so disruptive. But it can be just something that already exists somewhere else and you can bring and add value to over something that already exists. As, for example, we have a local mobility app instead of Uber. We also have Uber here, but we have had it for only 2 years now, which is very, very little for how long it has been in the market already. So all these kind of innovations in Paraguay, they always get here very late. And if you get this market to adopt your product, your service, or whatever you have to offer, I think it will be easier for you to open other markets of the region. I'm not sure about validation for the US. I think that's a complete different market. I wouldn't venture to say that if you can succeed here, you can succeed there. But probably you can succeed, if you succeed here, maybe you can succeed in Buenos Aires or Santiago or Lima, and even maybe in Brazil.
Gotcha. And in these years, I'm sure you have seen a lot of different ideas and different startups that have received funding. Is there any that you really liked and you think is the best one that has passed through the network?
Oh, I don't know how to say this in English. Reserva de canchas, which will be like to book your field for like a soccer field or any kind of field. Yeah, so it's a platform for booking sport fields for practicing football, tennis, and it's something like it's not something so innovative, but it's something that they replicate. And it works really well here and they have a really good team. There are four entrepreneurs that work together, that they were classmates at university. Then they had this problem once they were trying to organize a game. And then that's when they realized that it was time for them to try to solve this problem, right? So I have the chance to work very close with them because when I was coordinator at the acceleration process at COA, they were part of it, and I went with them throughout the process with their mentors, and then I saw them getting the investment from the company, and I think that's one of the companies that I admire the most from Paraguay. And then the other company was more like a philanthropic investment. We have an investor that is a philanthropist, and he tries to support all kinds of social projects. So every kind of project that has a social impact on its core is a good investment for him. And so this company makes low-cost housing for people. So at the price of a motorbike, they can already buy a house.
Wow.
And they work with this NGO that's called Techo. I don't know if you have heard of it. It's a Latin American NGO. It's huge. I think it exists in the whole continent. And they make houses. They build houses for people that don't have.
Does it mean rooftop?
Techo, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Well, at the beginning it was Un Techo para Chile. I think it started in Chile. Then it changed to Un Techo para mi país, a rooftop for my country. And right now it's just a rooftop.
It's definitely a catchier word.
And instead, if we switch point of views and we consider the investor side, do you have any specific requirements that investors must have to become part of your group?
Yeah, sure. It's one of the characteristics of angel investing is that the what's called smart money, right? Angel investor is not supposed to only invest money, but also with his knowledge, his experience, and also his network, so that the entrepreneur can go over certain steps that normally they will have to go through. With the angel investor usually gives them the expertise so that they don't commit the same mistakes again, right? So for an entrepreneur, it's very important to see what the investor can add to the business, right, to the company, and how it can help them grow faster and help them build some alliances with suppliers, with clients, with always try to look for the way for the investor to open new markets and to be a mentor also to them.
This is very interesting because there's actually some tension between an investor that wants to do too much, so who steps in an already formed team and wants to either change their ideas or add things that the entrepreneur is not okay with. And then there's the other side, that it's the one that you're talking about. So certain kind of angel investors or venture capitalists actually can help a lot to the entrepreneurs. It's just a matter, I guess, of balancing the two things, right?
Well, I don't think there is a line that is easily easy to draw, but it depends on each entrepreneur. We always recommend investors and entrepreneurs that there should be a fit between them two, right? They should be feeling. There is no science behind it. It's just something that if you feel like you can work with this person, then you do it, you go for it. But if you don't, like, it's not recommendable to get their money. Why? Because money, even though it sounds easier when you say it than when it actually is, you can get money from anywhere. And investment is something that you should look, it's a commitment that you do for life. So you shouldn't bring into your company somebody that wouldn't be good for you or for your company. It's like I think it's funny, but the resemblance is like a marriage. So you have to marry this person, and you have to choose a person that you feel comfortable with.
And do typically angel investors take a majority stake in the company, or do they tend to stick more to lower shares?
No, it's lower shares. By concept, angel investing is the investment that is done in exchange of minority participation into the company. So usually it goes from 10 to 20%. 20% is a lot already, actually. It should be less than that, because startups, they are fast-paced companies. They need a lot of funding throughout their life, and they will go through different stage of investment rounds during this the life cycle, right? So the angel investing is one of the first stages of investing. Is what's called seed investing, and they'll probably go later for a Series A, Series B, Series C, and other series of investment. And the entrepreneur have to make sure that they don't dilute their capital too much. They should be the owners of their business always. They shouldn't let other people have a bigger participation than them in the company, because if that happens, then they are not owners anymore, they are employees, and that affects their motivation. And that's bad not only for the entrepreneur, but also for the investor, because if you invest in a company, you probably are not going to work for this company. The entrepreneurs are going to do it. And if you affect their motivation, that could bring really bad results.
One question I have for you is actually around business plans. So I think there is a lot of pressure sometimes from startups to try to come up with a sensible business plan. But as you have said, you know, probably the best proof that they have is actually sales. So I have two questions for you. First, what would be the average kind of lifetime of companies that join the network and are looking for funding? If it's, you know, a couple of weeks or if they've already kind of sold a lot, and if you have any metrics that determines that. And then the second question would be, what do you think about business plans? Do you actually think that they are a good measure for understanding how successful a company can be in the future?
It depends a lot. For the first question, it depends a lot on the type of company we are talking about. There is no simple rule for that. I think, we have any kind of company, but most of them are in a really early stage of their development. And it's not what we look for, but it's what we get for the stage of development of the ecosystem, the local ecosystem that we have. But we are trying to look for companies that have at least 6 months to 1 year in the market, and that during this time they have had some validation. And there is not a simple rule. We don't have any kind of standardized criteria or metrics for each industry. But if you can show that your sales have grown consistently month to month for 6 month period, for example, that's some really good validation, not only that the market wants your product, but also that you are capable of implementing the business project, the business plan that you have, right? So business plans are good for to show the investor that you know what you are doing and what you are talking about, what you want to do, but they are not the soul of the company. The soul of the company is the ability to implement that business plan of the entrepreneur. So if you come to me and you don't have a business plan, but you have it in your head, in your mind, and you tell me, you know, in 6 months, I want to go abroad and open a new office in Buenos Aires, and that's why I'm looking for investment, then you know what you want to do. And so that gives me some impression that in one sense that you have the ability to take this company. Well, probably not that you have the ability, but at least you have the intention to do it, right? And that you know it is an important part of the development of your project. We have a lot of companies that come here, and the bigger market that they want to obtain is Asunción and the great metropolitan region, right? So that's not interesting. I'm sorry, but it's not interesting to anybody to invest in a company that only wants to focus on 2 million people market, you know?
So basically, you're saying that you are more impressed with an entrepreneur that might not have a perfect business plan, but has the ability to think big and especially has the courage to think outside of the box and be able to step out of their comfort zone, right?
Yeah, and going back to a question that you asked before about how the Paraguayan economy works, we have a particularity that the four biggest conglomerates of Paraguay are family business, and the four wealthier men of Paraguay are head of these family businesses, and they are local businesses, they are not international ones. So everybody, even entrepreneurs, they have in mind that they want to be the owner of their own company, and they want to be local. For the venture capital market is not so good. So we do a constant work of evangelize people of how they should do to build a successful startup, right? And to grow fast. You can do a startup without getting funding from other people, from third parties. But the problem is that you're going to do slow. You're going to grow slow. And maybe when you get there, there's going to be somebody else that's going to do it better or faster than you because they got funding from third party investors. So that's a little bit about how one of the challenges that we face when talking about the development of the ecosystem.
That's super interesting. And I bet you also do or encourage the startups that you work for to do market analysis and understand if there are other companies that are already doing what they want to do. And I was wondering, so if it's a bad sign that either no one is doing what you have in mind or a lot of people are doing it, what do you think about this?
It depends. I don't think it's a bad, it's not bad or not good, but for example, if there's nobody else doing it, why there is nobody doing it? Because if it is too simple and nobody thought about it, maybe it's because it just doesn't work. But if you're able to show me that you can get some traction or some validation from it, then I'll give you a shot. And if you show me something that everybody is trying to do, and you don't show me anything different from what they are doing, this is not interesting for me, right? So, for example, I had this entrepreneur that came to me a while ago and told me, look, I have this project and it's very innovative and there is nobody doing this in Paraguay. And I told them, like, actually, there is somebody doing this already, and it's the exact same thing that you are proposing. And actually, that gave me the impression that this entrepreneur, it didn't even do his homework, you know, he didn't did a proper market research before talking to me. And that's really a boomer, you know, like I'm sorry, but I cannot give a chance to an entrepreneur that doesn't really take it seriously.
connected to this, what are the biggest mistakes that you see entrepreneurs looking for funding making?
There are so many.
Don't say that, come on.
No, let's go through the list.
No, well, one of the main mistakes is that they think that you already know what they are doing. So they don't know how to explain their project. Or actually, it's not that they don't know how to explain, but they don't try it. And they assume that you already know what they do. And when you reject their project, they get mad at you because they, why? And there is nothing special about their project but because they didn't explain it very well. I think this is the main problem, and this is related to the something cultural maybe from Paraguay and from Latin America in general, but mostly from Paraguay, that the entrepreneurs, they don't want to share information with us.
Okay, why is that?
Because they're afraid that you'll steal their ideas or pass it on to someone else.
Exactly, so...
Okay, but that's a bit difficult.
That was the number one mistake that I was taught in my entrepreneurship classes during the master. It was that. It was like, don't be afraid to share your idea with potential investors.
Yeah, I get entrepreneurs that they come to me and they tell me about the idea and the business and everything, what they want to do. And I'm like, okay, that's very interesting, but I need to do to know your numbers. You know, I need to know how much you're making, how much you're selling, how many people. Can you share that information with me? And they are like, no, I don't feel comfortable sharing it. And how am I supposed to evaluate your project if you don't share that information with me, you know? So they don't get to an investment round because it's impossible for me to evaluate the projects. Or sometimes they want me to sign an NDA, for example. And when we talk about venture capital, that's the first thing that the first thing that I learned is an investor, they should never sign an NDA agreement with an entrepreneur, a non-disclosure agreement. Why? Not because you should go and steal their idea, but if they are afraid of you stealing their idea, it's because they are not capable of executing the idea properly. That's a really bad sign for an investor when they are dealing with an entrepreneur. They should be able to show that they are the best at doing that, and that nobody can do it better than them. So when you are trying to get funding for your venture, you are selling something. You are selling your company, and you are selling yourself as an entrepreneur, because most of the investments are not made on the company, but on the team, on the entrepreneur team.
That's super interesting indeed. And I was interested in asking you if you've seen more success stories of companies with a single entrepreneur or with a group of entrepreneurs.
For most investors, single entrepreneur is a no-go, because there is too much responsibility that you are putting into one person. And there is a lot that can happen to that person in the future. And if you don't have a backup, how are you going to get your money back, right? Because even though investors, they invest in companies not only for the return, but always for the impact that they are causing, independently if this is economic, environmentally, or social impact. And also it's something fun for the investor maybe to do, but they do want to get this money back, right? It's not philanthropy, and it's not a donation that they are making.
Makes a lot of sense. And I think we're basically at the end of our episode, so I wanted to ask you for one last thing. So if you were to give one single piece of advice to future entrepreneur, someone that has an idea and maybe has started doing something, what would that be?
That's a hard question. There is so much. But first of all, I think it's important for you to know, to be sure of what you are doing, you know, to know what you're doing and where you want to get with it, and make sure to pave the path to it, you know. So make a good team. If you have a good business plan, make sure to be able to implement it accordingly and to show that you are capable of doing. We have a lot of contest entrepreneurs. I think it's not only here, everywhere, that come to us and they say, look, I have won this and this and this and this contest. But then when you look at the execution of the business plan, they haven't got anything. And if you tell them no, they get really mad at you. So it's important to be able to show in actions what you're telling in words and not only staying on the paper. So I think the main piece of advice will be to take the project out of the paper and implement.
Wow, that's great. Fabio, thank you so much. You shared so many tips with us, and they were really up to the point, right? I think they're useful also for Eric and I, who are not entrepreneurs yet. But when we will, we'll for sure go back to this podcast and just listen again to all of the interesting things you had to share with us.
Thank you so much, Fabio.
Sure, I hope it's useful for you and for everybody that listens to it.
No, absolutely. I'm sure. I'm going to write down a few things and put them on paper for my next future entrepreneur career. Thank you so much for being here and for your time. And for everyone that is listening, we'll see you at the next episode of Brain Cherries. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
For us as well, Fabio. Thank you again. Bye-bye, everyone. As always, you'll find all the resources related to the things that we talked about in this episode in the description. And we'll see each other very soon for another episode of Brain Cherries Podcast.